Morning, and if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 3, please. Mark chapter 3, let's just pray together before we look into the Word. Thank you, our Father, for this good day. Dear God, we thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here this morning. Lord, thank you that you are sovereign and that you are holy and just. And dear God, that you know our very heart of hearts. Lord, if there's one here this morning outside of Christ, that you'd speak to them, that you'd draw them to yourself, you'd convict. And Lord God, as believers, we'd be encouraged as we look into the Word this morning. We know, Lord, that we have an enemy, and there easily could, and probably most of us would have areas in our lives that we know would be out of line with where we ought to be. And we ask, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts and encourage us and lead us and guide us and help us, dear God, this morning. Father, I thank you for this portion of your Word and ask that as we study these things that you'd indelibly mark the truths of your Word in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Well, for title's sake, this morning our message will be called Spiritual Relationships Are Stronger Than Natural Relationships. It's profound and complex, isn't it? That carries with it some things that are really good and really nice and should make us smile. Also, it carries with us some ideas that maybe would be most damning because our relationship with the wicked one, keep in mind, is spiritual. And that we were born condemned, born lost, born damned, in Adam, all have sinned. And I was looking at this portion of Scripture. We better read. We'll begin to read, and I'm thankful this morning that we're finally going to finish the third chapter of Mark. Nothing like taking your time. It's September 2006 we started through Mark. Quite likely we won't be finished in June this year, but we'll at least get through third chapter this morning. Verse 31, it says, "There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? Question mark. He looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Now, without doing damage to the text, I can add to that. Do you know this morning that if you're here, in a spiritual sense, you can't please God if you're not a believer? And I know that the Lord uses the lost to accomplish his purposes and that sort of thing. But the truth of the matter is that it's impossible to please God if you're here this morning and you're not a believer. Our very existence is evil because we're in Adam. We're lost. We're sinners. Don't want to be mean this morning, but when I look around, and if I were to look at you guys as a group and include myself and say, well, good morning to you sinners, it has a harsh sound, but the truth of the matter is, even those of us who are born again and we're going to heaven are saved sinners. May seem strange to you, there's two sides to this coin. In one sense, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said what he did in this passage, included Mary with sinners. In the other sense, he included everyone who would be a part of the household of God, those who have trusted him, as being brothers and sisters. It isn't a complex passage, really, and there have been those who have tried to make it that way. That's the beauty of commentaries. Those of you who have more than one commentary would know, you know, when you start to read them, there are some ideas that come out, and I guess part of it has to do with Gnosticism. It's just the idea that I want to look like I know things so I can make anything complex. I'm going to read the passage once more. Let's just think about it. "There came then his brethren and his mother, standing without, sent unto him calling, and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my brother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. How many of you have ever examined your family tree? Have you ever done a family tree? It's kind of interesting because if you were to go backwards, and I can't go back very far, I've never tried, I'm not extremely interested. There have been those who have done such thing, and I've read it, and it gets interesting. But one of the things that I noticed, and one of the pieces of advice that I will give anyone here who's contemplating marriage, if you look at your father-in-law or mother-in-law-to-be, and there's a whole lot of characteristics or things about them you don't like, you better not marry that girl. Because your children are going to inherit those characteristics. Also, you better look in the mirror or better examine your own family tree. How many of you ever looked in your family tree and looked backwards and found there were criminals? There would be those who have been involved in every type of sin that you can imagine. Why? Because in the natural, in the flesh, through Adam, through individual people, through families of people, we are all sinners. And when you stop and look at what we've inherited through man, it's nothing much good. Everybody has some good characteristics, right? In a sense. There are things that the worst of us can do quite well. And it's been interesting to me over the years to look at some of the accomplishments of some of the most evil people that ever existed. Be great to learn from them or inherit from them their ability to do certain things without the evilness attached. Well, the truth of the matter is, we have the evil attachment through Adam. Fallen man is evil in the eyes of God, and we inherited that. Now, on the other hand, if you stop and look this morning at our inheritance through Christ, and the fact that he had no sin nature, that he had no earthly father, everything through Christ is holy, just, and good. If we're here this morning as believers, we have two families in a sense. We have our natural family, we have our spiritual family. And in another sense, if you want to think about it this morning, if you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, your natural family is spiritual in the sense that the wicked one, your father, the devil, the enemy of God, is a spirit and influences us. And when you take a look at this passage, and it's interesting how the Lord Jesus Christ worked, because there were those who should have known and understood the law who were always confronting him. It looks here a little bit that this may have been slanderous, maybe, toward his mother. We know that can't be true just by the nature of Christ. First thing I want to look at this morning as we conclude this chapter is just a little bit about Mary. About Mary being the virgin and so on. When you look at this passage, it would be against the worship of Mary. Now, there would be those on the planet Earth this morning, those for centuries now, who have worshipped Mary as being the mother of God and so on. It's supposed, church dogma would say that she's the perpetual virgin. When you take a look at this passage, we understand because of Christ's brothers and so on that was not the case. By admission herself in Luke chapter 1, we call it the Magnificat. Mary sings to God, my God and my what? Savior. Mary needed a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ was just looking here at this situation and so on. And we learn that Mary is not to be worshipped and so on. Although, you know, Adam read this morning from Isaiah chapter 7. And it gets kind of interesting because one of the cardinal doctrines of the faith is the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ was born, Mary had to have been a virgin. He had no earthly father. He did not inherit a sin nature. And what gets kind of fun, and some of you have heard it and you've seen it when you've read commentary in some study Bibles and commentaries and so on. In Isaiah chapter 7, it would say young woman. And it gets amusing to me because I've listened to long discourses on the idea of this young woman in Isaiah chapter 7 and how it wasn't a virgin, it was a young woman, and if you were had studied Hebrew and if you understood Hebrew, that's all well and good. You can go that route if you would like to. But if you would look at another passage of Scripture, and this has always been interesting to me, in Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35, Mary said, I know not a man. That settles it. Mary was a virgin. And it was went on to be told her that it's the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. So the child, the Lord Jesus Christ, was definitely, according to Scripture, no argument, and we won't spend any more time on this, a virgin. So the virgin of Isaiah chapter 7 bore a son. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us today who trust him and know him become his spiritual family. Now, I've already mentioned this idea of our own family tree. I've gone to family reunions and so on before, and it's kind of fun and it's kind of interesting. Some of the things that you will see, some of your relatives. You guys all have relatives, right? And then on the other hand, as believers, isn't it interesting and isn't it fun when you stop and think, what is it? What are the characteristics that we have that proves that we're believers? And it's always been interesting to me, and I've probably shared this with you before. I can remember one time I had been away. I'd moved away from home in McAdam, where we lived at least, and I'd been away for 20 years, and I met a man. I had no clue who he was, and he came up to me, and he said, you're from McAdam. Yeah. He said, I know exactly who you are. Oh, good. And we talked there for a few minutes, and he talked about my family. He knew my family. He named one of my father's cousins. There was a family resemblance. He didn't even know that I existed. He thought I was someone else because of what I looked like, because of what I talked like. And he could see a family resemblance, and he thought I would have been my second cousin, actually. And I thought about it, you know, when you stop and look at it, what do we inherit? What is so wonderful about being in the family? And the Lord Jesus Christ here spoke about this family and this relationship. It's interesting, we need to have a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning. Let me put it to you like this. When you die, are you going to heaven? Do you know for sure that if you were to die today that you would go to be with the Lord? If the rapture were to take place this morning, would you be taken up with the other brothers and sisters in Christ? How do I become a part of God's family? It's pretty clear and it's pretty simple and it's easy in Scripture when you look at it. You were born in sin. You were born lost. You were born condemned. You were born damned. There wasn't anything about you that was good or righteous or just in the eyes of a holy God. And God looked at us as sinners. And we were talking in our adult class this morning that God loved us to the extent. And the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient, according to Philippians chapter 2, that he would suffer and bleed and die on a cross, and he bore the sins of the whole world in his body. He was resurrected. And the Bible tells us this morning that what the Lord expects of us is that we have to believe that we're sinners. And understand that the penalty for sin can't be paid by any man except the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sinless. If you're here this morning and you trusted him, you repented, asked the Lord to save you, the Bible says that we will be with him for all of eternity. If we've failed to do that, we're lost. But the interesting thing, there's more to it than just that. There's this relationship now. I now have brothers and sisters in Christ, and I live here as God's family, the same as when I was growing up. Five siblings, we all lived together in Dad's house. He provided for us. He cared for us. He instructed us, and he gave us everything that we needed. And if you're here and you're of the persuasion, this one bothers me a little bit, it's psychology and this father pain thing, any problem that I have in my life, I do not blame my father. He was not a perfect father. He was a sinner, same as yours and everyone else's, and I'm sure he made mistakes, and if I were to ask him, he would probably wish he'd done things some other way. But my sin and my problems and my difficulty have to do with my relationship with the Lord. That can easily be proven, because you can look at people who have been brought up in situations where you think they have no chance. They come to know Christ and they do very well. You can look at others who would be reared up in a Christian home. It always gets fun for me because people will say, oh, this young man has grown up and he's fallen away. He hasn't done well. He doesn't live for the Lord. Therefore, the parents didn't bring him up properly. Would you like me to give you the smug look that goes with it? You can tell the Stoics when they get older by the wrinkles around their mouth. When you're a Stoic and you're self-righteous and you're a Pharisee long enough, your hands get perpetually stuck like this, your face like this. You've never done anything. You know the guy who looks like they smell something foul? It's the Pharisaical Christian. It got interesting to me as I started looking at the biblical institution of the family. And I started looking at this and thinking along these lines that we all look at Eli. Remember his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and what had happened with them, and Ichabod. We don't want Ichabod written over our door, the glory of the Lord departed, right? And it's interesting that people always say, oh, Eli was a bad parent. If he was, God made an awful mistake in sending Samuel to him. He had bad kids. Truth of the matter is, we all inherited this sin nature. So now that I'm born again and now that I'm saved, what are the characteristics or what are the things that I have that would stand out in a lost and dying world? Like people would look at me and they would know that I'm my father's son because of what I look like. I know someone had told me once that I look like my sister. I know what you're thinking. And if I have the opportunity, I'm going to tell her what you thought. She must be one fine-looking lady, right? Spiritual family, seven things very quickly. Think about this. Do you know if you're here this morning and you're a believer, you're born again? We've all been born of the same Father. We were born initially of our father, the wicked one. When we became born again, we become part of the family of the Father, of God the Father. God's our Father. Can you imagine what it would be like? Think about it. We will, from the time we're born again until forever, we're brought up in the household of God. Now that I'm a believer, and as believers, we're all children of God the Father. God is our Father, all of us. He made provision. Isn't it interesting when you look at Abraham up on Mount Moriah? He's about to kill his son Isaac. He gets out the knife. And Abraham says this, in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, or the Lord hath provided. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. God, in the person of the Son, provided himself the lamb. God our Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, when you look from eternity past, from creation until a new heaven and the new earth, has provided everything that we need to live, to die, to go to heaven, to spend all of eternity. As believers this morning, we share the same Father. Number two, we could say, if you want references, the first one would be John 1:13, 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 20. Do you know we've been all bought with the same price? Can you imagine siblings? How many have ever heard of sibling rivalry? Do you know in the family of God there had and ought to be any sibling rivalry? Actually, I think in our household, I cost the most. Seems to me I don't know if Dad was complaining. I think it cost $60 to pay for me to be born. He can be born free now, I think. That was the most expensive of all. Can you imagine siblings sitting around going, "Oh, Dad must have loved you the most because he paid more for you." Well, there's this thing called taxes. I don't know what taxes used to be back 52 years ago. I think that's how old I am. If they're telling me right, I'm a fossil, you know. I grew up in the days when there was no such thing as a VCR. No one had a PC. That was a progressive conservative in those days. Now everybody has a PC sitting in their home and staring back at them and pumping filth into our homes. You know what it's like. Great and wonderful how things have progressed. I don't know how to work an iPod. I don't like cell phones and I don't like computers. I'm old-fashioned. I grew up in days when skates were made of leather and they had a little plastic thing on the end so they wouldn't stick in you when you get kicked. But we were all bought with the same price. Everybody here this morning who's a brother and sister in Christ was bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same price. Thirdly, Colossians 1, chapter 18, we're all members of the same body. We have to be very, very careful sometimes. How many of you have ever injured yourself? I can remember on one occasion jamming a quarter of an inch off the end of my finger. And it seemed like it didn't want to stop hurting. And back in those days, I used to be stubborn. I didn't say anything. But I was thinking, the most profound ow anybody ever thought. And it got interesting because a few years before, I had cut a finger off with a saw. And they gave me painkillers and it didn't work. And having a stubborn nature, being after hours, I went to the doctor, he stitched it and gave me a prescription for pain pills, and I said, well, they wouldn't work anyway, so I didn't go to the pharmacy, and it wasn't like here, you couldn't go there any time. When the freezing came out, do you know my whole body hurt for 3 days? We need to be sensitive to the fact that although there may be a prickly person, there may be a person in our midst who is bought with the same price. God is their Father, the same as He is yours. And because of some sin or because of something, because of the pain that they're suffering, they're causing you pain. We just have to keep in mind that they were bought with the same price. In the eyes of a holy God, eternally speaking, as believers, we're all of the same value. So we have to be careful how we look at one another. Fourthly, I like this. John chapter 16, verse 13, and it's just the idea, do you believe this morning that God the Holy Spirit indwells us? Do you know that God the Holy Spirit enlightens us? It became interesting to me when I used to work in the welding and logging industry, and you could see different individuals, and you could tell where they learned their trade. Because people, if you are taught from the same teacher, you will have very similar skills. Do you know that as believers, we've all been to the same school, and we all use the same book? And we all have the same teacher. As Christians, we're alike, because why? Who's our teacher? God, the Holy Spirit, teaches us through His Word. Now, I'm not saying that we're all equal as students. Had I finished high school, which I didn't, it's interesting to me, I can remember when I was 8th grade, do you know that my average would, up until, I think it was 8th grade, would have been high 90s. I failed grade 8. Do you know why? I hated school. I thought if I'm going to be there, I'm going to make it fun. And I had a teacher that just happened to like me. My mother would go to parent-teacher things. This dear lady, I liked her too. She would say, yeah, but he's just having fun. Well, couldn't you stop him? Well, I tried, but he's so funny. He's so funny, he failed. Next year, I think they got tired of me being there. I know grade 8 stuff real well. I spent 2 years there. And you know, by the time I got to grade 9, guess who's now teaching grade 9? She moved up. I had a great year. Actually, I passed that time. As believers, we have the same teacher. The Bible only teaches one thing. And if there's a confusion, and if there's a difficulty, and if there's a problem, it's not with the teacher, it's with the students. Fifthly, how about this? We walk the same path. Our trail would lead from the moment of our salvation to being lost, and we've turned around, we're going the other way, and our path leads to heaven, to be with the Lord for all of eternity. How about we could say this? We serve the same master. I'm in a hurry now because the big hand is pointing straight up. As believers, we're slaves and bond slaves of the same master. And it gets interesting when you do a study in Scripture of this slavery, and if a slave, when a time came for his release, and he wanted to stay with the master and he liked the master, he would pierce his ear with an awl against the doorpost, signifying that he liked his master, didn't want to leave. Do you know that we all serve the same master? We serve a master who wants always what's best for us. We serve a master who loves us. We serve a master who knows us, who understands us, who will never lead us in a wrong direction. So as believers, we all serve the same master. And lastly, and I'll close with this sort of, we're all heirs of the same inheritance. Did you ever stop and think what's ours in Christ? In order to have an inheritance, to get the inheritance, somebody dies. And if you're here this morning and you grew up and you had wealthy parents, you and your siblings can fight over what they have. That's how it works. Somebody makes a will. When the will is read, you chew your fingernails right to the bone. Oh, I'm going to get more money than so-and-so because I was the best kid. Boy, I want to tell you, I could never say that. If my parents were able to calculate who in the world ever gave them the most grief, you're looking at them. Do you know something? When you take a look at Scripture, we all have the same inheritance. Christ died for us. We inherit eternal life. Ephesians chapter 1, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Isn't that great? What the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them about, here's my brethren, and so on. Look what we have in Christ. And lastly, and I'll just read this very quickly. We'll close with this. Didn't I say that already? We're children of the same Father, we're servants of the Son, we're temples of the Spirit, we're witnesses in the world, we're brethren to each other, and it's the fruit of the Spirit that makes us attractive to a lost and dying world. Let's just pray. Thank you again, our Father, for the few minutes we've had in your word. We thank you, dear God, how good it is to be part of your family this morning. Lord, you've made a provision that I can be born again. Lord, I pray for this group, if there's someone here is outside of Christ, that you'd convict them this morning. Lord God, as believers, we'd be thankful for what we have in Christ. And Lord, for what we've inherited and what it's like to be in your family. We praise you and thank you again for who you are. In Christ's name, amen.